Right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Can we rise to our feet? Let's declare the word of God together. Our opening incantations for the activation of the grace apparatus for perception. There is a grace apparatus for perception, which means that anybody can understand the word of God. RB Times says there is a grace apparatus for perception, which in itself needs apparatus to understand. The Lord is good. Anyway, what it means, anybody can understand the word of God. So what we do when we start is to activate that grace apparatus of perception by declaring God's word. If you are ready for today's Bible study, give me a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's declare the word of God together as we go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, give me another amen.
Amen.
That's your portion again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's take our seats. If you have your Bibles, let's continue looking at the pursuit of God. And I will continue looking at the matter of faith where we ended last time. Last time we looked at the fact that Enoch walked with God. He had a close relationship with the Lord. He continued in his life in a close fellowship with the Lord. And then so close was his fellowship that one day, New Living Translation, Good News Bible says, he disappeared. All right? King James says, and he was not. That is, they couldn't find him anymore. What happened? It was because God took him. And I emphasized last time that that's what God wants from us. He wants us to walk with him closely. He doesn't want people who approach him only because they see him as a problem solver. God is not primarily a problem solver, He is God. And the greatest desire of His heart is not to solve problems. Are you getting my point? No. It's to have a relationship with people, with His children. That's the greatest desire of His heart. He wants to relate with us. He doesn't want us to approach only when it is time to solve a problem. That's why I'm going there again. That's why I don't like when Christians tell me that when you need something, you go and give. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Having your needs met with God is a byproduct of a relationship. Are you getting my point here? It's just one of those byproducts of the relationship. It's not because you want something done, then you do one thing. That's not how God wants it. He wants us to relate with Him. And like I said the other day, let's not forget to lay emphasis on what Jesus was laying emphasis on when He was speaking. My example was like when I said that, give and it shall be given unto you. He wasn't trying to say, please, this is how to get your needs met. His emphasis was on giving. When he said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you, his emphasis was on seeking the kingdom of God. He was just saying that don't worry about the other things. They will come. That's the point he was making. They will come. Don't pursue them. They will come. We've been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. What Solomon was trying to tell us, you see, if you read the whole book, he was saying that I have tried everything you are trying to try now. I like that English. Don't you like that? I have tried everything you are trying to try, and I can tell you nothing is worth it. Every good thing in life must be added to you as an addition. It must not be a goal in your life. Every single thing must be added to you as an addition. It must not be a goal. What that means is this. All right? Let me explain it again. God doesn't want us to make all this one of draw a car on the wall and you keep on looking at it until it becomes real in your life. It's childish faith. Real faith does not have the time to put a car on the wall and be staring at it every day. Do you understand my point? Those are just tools of life. Solomon was emphasizing to us that I have realized that when the car will come, you will enjoy it if God blows it upon you. But if you continue every day striving to get it, when you get it, you will be disappointed. One of my friends called it post-acquisition depression. He said, that's when that happens. You spend a lot of money. Those of you who were in school, or shortly after we left school, for young boys, what was it that we wanted? There was no phone that time, no tabs, no laptops really. There were laptops, but They were not the common, in fact, how many laptops were there? Which one of the laptop? How many people own computers? Those are the ones in school. I'm talking about something years ago. So what we wanted then was music set. Are you getting my point? Yeah, when you had money, you bought a good music set. That's what young boys wanted. And he noticed something, that sometimes you buy a good music set. So the next few days you are depressed. He calls it post-acquisition depression. He coined that word. That when you have spent money, you now realize that all is what? Vanity. You've spent money, you've stressed yourself beyond measure. And the thing comes into your life, you discover it is vanity. And Solomon said, don't worry about it. Like I said something then when we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, that Solomon was not saying that those things in themselves are bad. What made them vanity was the human effort that went into them to bring them into our lives. It's like wind. It's like wind. If it blows on you, it is comfortable, it is nice. If you start running after it so that it can continue blowing on you, the whole society will gather and say, this man has gone mental. That's just a matter of fact. Okay, so that's what we're trying to emphasize. So we believers, we must put in our faces, in front of us, the things that are most important. And the primary thing is to pursue God personally, to know Him. I said it again last time, let me say it again. God wants to sit you down and tell you the mysteries of creation. He wants to have a kind of relationship that you and Him will talk. Really, I'm not joking about this. It will get there one day. That you actually sit down and He will understand why euglena is why is like that. Are you getting, you know euglena? As you learn that in biology. One day you sit down and see the similarity between a chimpanzee and an orangutan. What's the difference? What is the glory of God that each one is manifesting? And that's a matter of fact. There's no one, even the mosquito, one day you will find out why God invented the mosquito. And I say, Lord, you mean you made this thing? Is it just to harass our lives? Are these the Philistines that are supposed to be disturbing us? When maybe we're supposed to pray, we are not praying. They start doing wah, wah, wah in your ears and you wake up to go and pray. You'll be asking questions like that and he'll be giving you answers to the reason why the mosquitoes exist. And there is a reason for it. Are you getting my point? And he wants to share that knowledge. He enjoys that process. And I want the Christians to understand that. For God, that is good. That is good. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come and make our abode in his house. That is, he didn't say we'll come and live in his heart. No, he didn't say that. Go and read it. He didn't say I'll come and live in his heart. He said we'll come and live in his house. We'll come and live with him. Are you getting my point? I tell people all the time that, listen, you say you want to go to Jerusalem to go and see the Lord, don't waste your time. Jesus is not in Jerusalem. God is not in Jerusalem. Listen, God, you know, let's not go there. If I get there, I get stuck again because this Zionism that is destroying Christianity is not good at all. All right, listen to me. I heard people say that God is going to build a temple. You know, when I hear it, I say, are you serious or you're joking? A physical temple on this earth? Believe me, he won't do it. He has made his word clear. That you, me, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God now. He will not build another brick and mortar temple. Trust me, he won't. God doesn't like buildings. Temples, he doesn't like it. The building that he wants is your heart, is my heart. Are you getting my point? If it is an arrangement of a building that will bring Jesus back, let me tell you what it is. It's when you and I, all of us Christians, are in such an agreement that when the angels look from above, it's as if they are seeing a well-built building. And what is the building? Is you and me being in agreement. Is the Baptists and the Assemblies of God people not seeing any difference between them? Just saying that, okay, you guys walk in this area. Why we walk in this area? It's when the different churches they've come to an agreement and those walls don't exist anymore. More than just buildings that are convenient for our meeting. Just like here now, we're not in the open. When that is built, then Jesus can return to that temple. Not that you go and get a special group of architects to design the temple worthy of the Lord. Fat joke. People don't know what they call New Testament. There's no prophecy of God that's interpreted based on the nation of Israel that is correct. Every prophecy of God must be interpreted based on Christ. Let me leave that one to you. Go and chew on that when you get home. Every prophecy must be interpreted around Christ Jesus. No matter what you see in the Bible, if it's not interpreted around Christ Jesus, your interpretation is wrong. Your interpretation is incorrect. All right, let's leave that. All right, let's get back to our main message. So, I went into that to let you know that Jesus, God the Father, what they want is to make their abode with us. is the house you are living in now that God wants to live in. It's not a temple. The house you are living, even if it's a hut, that is where he wants to live. That is the very place he desires to stay. He wants to come. Look, to you, maybe a single room, all right, in a high density area. But Jesus wants to stay there. And he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and my Father will come, and I will make our abode with him. That's the primary desire of his heart. That's what I'm trying to say. And that must be the thing that we have put in front, and is a goal that we are running after. We're not running after God for what we want to get from him, but we want to satisfy the desire of his heart. And that's what we are talking about in this particular series. So let's continue. All right, so last time I was speaking about that. That's when we talked about Enoch, how Enoch works with God. All right, and I now said, anybody who works with God, let me say that again. The nature of God, give me a scientific word, percolates into him. It diffuses into him. It penetrates into him. He's transformed without even realizing that something is going on. When Moses will come out of the presence of God, his face will be shining. And he would not know. The Bible said he did not know his face was shining. What I'm trying to say is that we can absorb God. We can absorb him. There's something that radiates from him that you understand my point? It enters into us if we stay with him. And it affects our eyes. It affects how we see things, how we interpret things. It affects how things relate with us. I said something last time that many blessings we are looking for in life, they are not coming towards us because we are not magnetizing it yet. There is not enough divinity in our soul to be able to magnetize the blessing. I don't know whether I get my point here. And that's why the Bible says that he gave us magnificent promises, so that through them we can be partakers of the divine nature. Because once the divine nature is part of us, are you getting me? Then many things start attracting themselves. You don't have to look for them. Listen, this gospel of how to get everything you want met. It's not good. It's not good gospel. It's not good gospel. The gospel is the gospel of transformation. The true gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, is that Jesus begins to reside inside you. That God the Father's nature is replicated in you as an individual. That's the real gospel. So he said, don't worry about it. All other things will be what? Added to you. Once we stay in his presence, believe me, we become magnetic also. It's like you put a metal against magnet. After a while, the metal itself becomes magnetized. I like one thing this man said, John Gillick. John Gillick made a statement once, interesting. He said there was a time that the axe head fell into the water when Elisha and his men wanted to build expand their building anyway where they were staying. He said, what happened? How did he recover it? He said, Elisha took a piece of wood. The Bible said he cast it upon the water and the iron did float. Now, he said, what happened was that Elisha took that piece of wood, held it. He held it until the anointing inside him penetrated the wood, causing it to become magnetic, and he tossed it on the water, and any metal down there pulled towards the wood. I said, my father, this is new science. Are you getting my point? that it was a transference of spiritual substance. It was that the man just held it and looked into the realm of the spirit, and the spirit began to flow through him into the wood, and the wood became magnetic, and he tossed it on the iron, on the water, and the metal came out from under and stuck to the wood, and they recovered their material. He was saying, that's what he was explaining. That's John Gillick. John Gillick was talking about the power, the transmissibility of divine power, that this thing can be transmitted. That it can be transmitted. That if you have it, you can. He has transmitted it to paper before. That they print paper. He will hold it, pray over it, send it to somebody. The person holds it, starts vibrating. He drops, the vibration stops. I said, what's going on? You pick up the journal again. The fellow starts vibrating. He said, why? Because I loaded that thing with divinity. Whoa. Let me tell you something about life. Me, I told one day I was praying, dear Lord, it's not about, you know, there are things that, you know, there are people who want to travel abroad, they want to see the Alps. I'm happy you don't even know what's the Alps. Most people don't even know what they're talking about. You know, you want to travel, go and see the high mountains and see people snowing, skiing, snowboarding, all of those things. Are they good things? I don't know. Some people, look, they only pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, all my neighbors have gone to Dubai. Me too, I will go in Jesus' name. Amen. Sow a seed so that you can have a holiday in Dubai. They sow a seed. Believe me, you don't know what's important in life. If you're still praying like that, you don't know what's important in life. Paul said, what are you talking about? Me praying to see Dubai? Pray to see the Alps? Me too, I must see New York, Paris. I must shop on, is it Ellis Street, whatever they call it in Paris. No, Paul said, that's a very stupid prayer point for me. What is my own? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What was Paul trying to say? Listen, I must understand spiritual power and experience it. Are you getting my point? That is, the prayer is that, God, they say people get raised up from the dead. Ha! In the name of Jesus, in this my life, I must see it. I'm tired of testimonies. I want to see itimony. Are you getting my point? I want to use my own eye to see it. That's not just testimony. I want to see spiritual power manifested. I prayed one prayer one day. If I tell you, you're going to laugh at me. But I'll tell you anyway. I said, Lord, see, I'm not afraid to die. Oh. Amen. I'm not dying now. Just, no, don't think I'm trying to die. Don't worry about it. Okay? But I just said, Lord, I would like to take a tour of heaven. Don't surprise me. Say, I'll just die one day. I say, see what the place is like. No. I mean, when we want to travel, sometimes we look at brochures. You know, you see the airport ahead of time. It's nice to take a tour. You know, the tours are dangerous, I know, because my experience is that when you tour heaven, you don't want to come back. But I told them, don't worry, I will come back. Trust me now, you know. Now, I'm not going to talk about having things that are important in front of your eyes. Some people say, oh, look, like, Father, in the name of Jesus, this car called Rolls Royce. Me too, I must enter. Please, the Lord just is shaking his head. Say, this is my boy, never grow. After all these years, those things are toys. They are toys. A private jet is just another toy, but this one, it flies. If you come to my house, I have all kinds of toys for my kids. They are growing older now, of course, gotten tired of a lot of them. I have, you know, motor cars, you know, motorized cars, that the remote control cars. I have the ones that fly. I have about two of them. A helicopter and an attack helicopter. And it's, once you charge it, you drop it, put the control, zoom, it lifts into the air. And it moves around. It hovers. You can move it up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Then it crashes after a while. The battery doesn't last long. Yes, it's true. They are very small, you know, toys, okay? But they are all toys. They are all toys. That's the point I'm making. Whether it's riding on the earth, I have one that looks like a truck. I have the one that looks like a BMW 7 Series. Looks exactly like a 7 Series BMW. But you know, it doesn't impress me. Why? It's a toy. It can't carry me anywhere. I charge the batteries for the kids, load it, give them the remote control, and boom, they are riding the thing in the sitting room, you know, feeling very happy. But I know it's a toy. It can't achieve destiny for them. Are you getting my point? It will not help them move from one place to the other. In the same manner, many of the things we are pursuing in life, God looks at them from heaven and says, these are toys. Some of them move on the earth. Some of them fly. Some of them float. They physically help you move from one place to the other. But spiritually, they don't shift your destination. They are all toys. They are all toys. So sometimes we make them prayer points. God just look and say, get ready, you've come. Praying about toys. There are women who have that is they are praying every day, Father, in the name of Jesus, my wedding must be grand. And God said, this one is a prayer point. Say, yes, so my gown in the name of Jesus. Father God, I receive it, I have a picture of it in my mind. God said, look, don't be foolish, my little girl. Go and meet Diana. Let her show you the video of her wedding. With the gown, with everything. I was a little boy when Diana wedded. Wedding of the century. I remember. I was a little boy. The whole world watched it and there was no CNN. On NTA, we watched it. But you know the story about the wedding, don't you? The wedding broke down during their honeymoon. The world only knew about it much later. So the Lord looked and said, you see, my daughters are still praying about wedding ceremony. Honestly, there are things God doesn't want to hear about. When you kneel down, say, okay, please don't bring that matter up again. You are embarrassing us here. It's just that the angels, they know me very well. Otherwise, they will have been wondering, is this one really a child of God? Or which kind of God is her father? That pieces of cloth and ceremony is a prayer point. If you look at the wedding and say, what is this? Do this thing quickly. Let me start marriage. Yeah, it's true. Please, I hope you're following my point here. So what I was saying, I just said, listen, we must put before our faces the things that are most important. And that's what we're talking about this series. The pursuit of God. We want to know God. We want to walk with Him. We want to know Him just for His, I mean, just to know Him and His, that's it. And like I said before, the knowledge of God is not intellectual knowledge. It builds relationship. And that's why you see, one of the words you see in the Old Testament, okay? He will tell you, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. So knowledge with God is not just intellectual knowledge. It's a relationship that becomes very close. So when we're talking about we knowing God, it's not just reading a book about Him. It's coming to a situation where we are personally acquainted with Him. I said something last time that, listen, Abraham, who used the word Jehovah Jireh for him was not a textbook matter. It was a personal experience. Go and sacrifice your son. He got there. The Lord now said to him, don't kill him anymore. He now found a ram there with his horn cut in the bush and then sacrificed the ram. And he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That is the name that place God provides. So when you see Jehovah Jireh for him, it was a matter of personal acquaintance. That is, listen, recently they say in Nigeria, recession. One of the things that came to my mind, of course, the flesh doesn't want what people call recession. It doesn't want it. But I told myself, I said, God, it may physically look not like a good thing, but at least this is an opportunity to exercise the faith which we claimed we had when there was no recession. If we really had that faith, we wouldn't be afraid of recession. What the world calls recession. After the Bible says that we should be like trees firmly planted by rivers of water, streams of water, that we yield our fruit in our own season. In everything we do, we prosper. That is, it is not the weather outside that determines whether we will prosper or not. So sometimes when you hear a dollar is now 10,000 naira, it's a good time to rejoice. To say, Lord, do I really have faith or I don't? You see, Christians now running up and down. Why? It is a recession. If you just make $5,000, convert it to naira. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, it's a disappointment because you see, what you don't understand is that you have proven that you don't have faith. Like I said before, 1 Peter chapter 1, when we're reading it, that what God is going for is the genuineness of our faith. He needs our faith to be genuine. When people are not focused on God, that's why they start hearing voices telling them to go to comfortable areas. That's the point I'm trying to make. That what do we need to... Okay, I was saying something earlier, that as believers, all these trials for us should be a challenge for our faith. That's what I was trying to say. That we say, my faith, is it genuine or not? That's it. That's what we want. So we're not afraid of situations. Is my faith genuine or not is what we are going for. Not looking for how to hear voices to tell us where life is comfortable. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Please bear that in mind. That's what faith is. That is what a walk with God is. That's what we're talking about. So we must pursue God. Now let's continue from where we stopped last time. And I've been trying to get to it for some time. I'm happy I'm there now. The book of Romans chapter 4. We read it the other time. Let's get back to it. Now what I want to emphasize again today is something we began some time ago. But I didn't continue on it immediately. But the Lord has given me the liberty now to get back to it. I need to read that. Now, my message for today, up to this point, I'll just review the main thing we've been trying to do. Let me now settle down on the word I have for today. Somebody say, he has a word. All right, the Lord is good. Let's look at the word I have for today. The book of Romans chapter 4. Now, it's something we read before. Let's start from verse 16. It said, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations I have made you. It is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In the presence of him whom he believed, yes, I want to get that flow. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, that is physically. Now, please, I want to understand that. The Bible says in verse 18, in hope, Abraham believed against hope so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. What was that? So shall your descendants be. He said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. I just completed reading that, even though what I really wanted to stop, where I wanted to stop really was verse 22. But let me just go back to this point we began with a few weeks ago on this particular subject, talking about faith as part of our pursuit of God. Last time I ended by explaining the fact that those who have been with God, they see things differently. Can you remember that? I explained that those who have been acquainted with him, when they see things, the way they respond is different. For example, the mountain was surrounded when the soldiers came to arrest Elisha. Gehazi, not knowing what was happening in the realm of the spirit, what did he say? He began to panic. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? And then the master who was acquainted with things of the spirit, what did he say? Ignore them. Forget them. The servant said, why? He said, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Why? For him, the things of the realm of the spirit were tangible. Are you getting my point here? Now, please, I want you to follow me. So what happened was that he brought the things that were tangible in the realm of the spirit, he brought them into physical existence. Why? How? By his faith. Why did I read this? You will see that Abraham, he had a promise. The Bible says that he refused to waver in unbelief, but he put his hope, his faith in God, who gives life to the dead. That's in verse 17. And calls into being that which does not exist. And King James' expression there is so poetic. He said, calls those things that be not as though they were. What was he trying to say? That is, you see something physically, God speaks a word, and what he's bringing into existence, at the time he's speaking that word, that thing does not exist. Please follow what I'm going to say. There's something I'm going somewhere. Why we Christians have to be careful, why we have to pursue God, why we must learn to see things with the eyes of God. Please, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. The other time I told a story. I just told a hypothetical story that somebody may have gotten injured, all right? He fell, she fell, or was cutting something in the kitchen, and the knife cut the hand, all right? Or the nail punctured the foot while he was walking in the shed. And then a number of pathways can arise from that. Please follow this. One, the wound could just get cleaned. You dress it, you know, clean the area with iodine, with spirit, or just an antiseptic, and leave it, bandage it, or put a clean plaster on it. And that's it. It heals over the next few days. The pain disappears after 1 week, and it's all gone. Now, we think that is a normal thing. But let me tell you something, there's nothing normal. Everything has been played out in the realm of the spirit. There's another way it could go. The wound could get infected. Tetanus could creep in. The organism could grow in the wound. And after some time, they release their toxins to the system. A few weeks later, the man wakes up, he can't move his neck. His jaw is locked. You call him, he goes into a spasm. You drag him to hospital, they start treating, they do everything. From the day of the injury, 1 month later, he's dead. The same wound, going two different ways. And I said, that wound can be anything. It can be two neighbors quarreling. First World War started because somebody shot somebody. Not because two nations were quarreling, but because an ambassador from another country, a royal member of his own country, you understand, a member of the royal family, an archduke, was shot. And that was how First World War began. Millions died in that process because a man shot another person. Please follow me. We know the story that happened in Rwanda, All right? Over 1 million people died eventually. In just a few months. Why? Because men began to speak evil against themselves. Some called some people cockroaches. Some called them tall trees. Then one day a man announced on air, call down the tall trees. And the men had machetes ready, cutlasses, and they began to kill human beings. And over the next 60 days, about 800,000 people were murdered. Again, believe me, these kind of things start in beer parlors. They start on radio talk shows. But listen to me, the way they could go, that's what I'm going to emphasize, they have been written in the realm of the spirit. The wound could heal, or the wound could kill. What will be, now that's what I'm talking about, what will be, the Bible says that Abraham, by faith, are you getting my point? In hope, against hope he believed. He put his hope in God, who quickens the dead and calls into existence that which does not exist. What am I going to say here? What you see physically is not what will decide what will happen afterwards. It is what you call into existence that matters. Listen, everything in life, that's why I say, look, you must learn to see things with the eyes of God. Because Abraham, the Bible says, he contemplated his body. He knew the situation of his body, but he refused to derive his expectation from what he was seeing. I told you that when I came to Enugu, of course, I've been working here for many years, they have seen situations before that even people, locals, again, people who are from here, try to persuade me this is tribalism against me. But I said it is not true. What they don't understand is that I wasn't speaking from what eyes could see. I was speaking according to the promise of God over my life. Do you get my point here? I was speaking according to the promise of God over my life. Listen, in the realm of the spirit, all kinds of things have been written. There's a story I tell all the time. Many times, I've heard him tell this story of Derek Prince. One day was conducting a deliverance session on a woman who had a familiar spirit. Just like Paul cast out a demon from one particular young girl in the book of Acts. This girl also had a familiar spirit and used to see visions and could see things. And as Derek Prince spoke to that demon, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. The girl spoke up. He said, I had a vision that I see you in a red car. Or at least in a car, I'm not sure the color again. I see you in a car that was wrecked around a tree. You know, kind of saying that Derek Prince died in a car accident. Now listen to this. If you tell an average Christian today that, you know how he responds? He says, all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. And what happens? He declares a 3 days fast. No eating, no drinking. They pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. And if any of the children dare to eat, he say, serious things are going on. You are here eating. And the pastor will say, your enemies are not sleeping. What are you doing sleeping? Why? Because they had a vision that a man had a car accident and died. And you know what the referee said? He told the young woman, you have seen the plan of the devil for my life. But let me give you the news. I don't walk in the devil's plan. That was the prayer. That was the beginning of the prayer. That was the end of the prayer. He never took the matter to God in prayer. Many of the things we pray about, we are giving energy to the suggestion of the devil. Listen to me. The man just simply said to the girl, sorry, you have seen into the devil's plan, but there is a problem there. I don't walk in the devil's plan. You can't come to me now and say, you see death around me. I will tell my friend, go away. I have other things to do. There are things I don't respond to. Prophecies, I see death around you. You must be blind. You did not calculate their distance. You will have noticed that they were around outside the periphery of the hedge of God that he built around me. I'm telling you the truth. I will not pray one line of prayer about it. Ask my wife. I'm not lying to you. That's how I live my life. She knows. There are things I don't take serious. I see Christian friends. I'm like, and if you see, this, they're always seeing it around people. I'll be honest with you. There's death around me. Sometimes cockroaches die. It is death. And in my house, when I bring out insecticide, usually in my children's room to make sure they can sleep in peace, all the mosquitoes, they die. That's death around me. It is who is dying that's the issue. The mosquitoes, they die. The cockroaches die. The rats die. Anytime I see any rat around my house, I tell Shehu, prepare supper. He knows what I mean. I say, feed them. We have guests. He knows what I mean. You get, you know, indomethacin. Mix it with a meal, small meal, and save the rats. Say, pastor, say we should eat. They die. You get to my point. There are prayer points I don't take seriously. I don't. God is my witness. I've never taken them seriously. When people want to travel, they begin to cast and bind on the road. Out of respect for the name of Jesus and my brethren, that is why I bow my heads in those cars when they are praying, if I'm in a commercial vehicle. Let us now begin to bind every witch, every demon, every principality on road. Pastor Banky, don't you pray about your road? I do. What is my prayer? It's a scripture. The Lord is with me in my going out and in my coming in. That's all. Believe me, that is power. I like one thing Reverend Akinola said when I was a house officer. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. I never forgot it. He was talking about atomic energy. That if you know how to break the atom, you release the power inside. That if you know how to break the scripture open, you release the power that God condensed inside. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. I went on of that to explain something here. Derek Prince story. That woman saw something. She was not lying. She actually had a familiar spirit that used to show her visions. And when she would see those visions, she would tell people about them. And people will go ahead and follow those visions. And today, of course, Christians follow. A lot of people go to those churches these days. And they are impressed with pastors who see visions. Most of those ministers are blind. They don't see anything. They see wrongly. I'm going to describe something. In the realm of the spirit, things are written. Are they trying to kill you? Yes. I went to preach in Port Harcourt. I finished talking like this. A woman came up to me and told me a detailed story. He said, sir, you said that witches can't kill a Christian. I said so, and I mean it. I'm standing by it. He said, I want to tell you about my husband. I said, wait, madam, let me say it again. Witches can't kill a Christian. He said that I was talking about your mother is not the witch. She's not trying to kill you. And I told me the story about her husband who was killed by his mother, who is a witch. I said, madam, thank you very much for the story. But I can assure you of one thing. Your husband was not a believer. She said, okay. I said, yes. He was not a believer. What I couldn't tell her, all right, is that forget that story, actually. It didn't go the way you are planning, you are interpreting it. I felt like I forget that story. Said the man, tells the man said this, the woman, I said, but I didn't have, I just said, look, at least you have admitted on one point, the man was not a believer. I said, a witch cannot kill a believer. Forget that thing. The life of a Christian is only in the hand of his God. Please, I'll explain something here. So a lot of things are written in heaven. They give it to people. People take them and listen to this. By their faith, they download them onto the earth. That's what I'm talking about. That wound I told you about, different pathways have been written for it. You now, by faith, bring to the earth the one you want. What people experience all the time is not, I mean, they don't always experience what God wants them to experience. I've said it before, God is judge, so we always carry out his decree. But we don't always carry out his will. Because if you always carried out his will, it would not have been a prayer point. So Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. So in heaven, many things have been written. Faith, the true faith of God, is the way by which we bring the thing that is written in heaven down to reality on the earth. That's why we believers, we learn not to judge according to what we are seeing. And what in the country today, not just today, what always happens is that the world wants us to judge according to what we are seeing. So they will get up in the morning and tell you that, did you notice that Buhari sacked an Igbo man and put a Hausa man? Can you see? He wants to empower Islam. While he's, what's the opposite of empower? Dispowering. While he's trying to weaken the South and marginalize the East. Now listen to this. Christians soak it in, they drink it, and they call those things that be not as though they were. And the interesting part, Islam gets stronger, and they get weaker. And then when the Islam gets stronger, they will tell you, we said so. What they don't understand is that it was their faith that created the strength for that Islam. They think they are supposed to speak according to what they are seeing. For example, you hear me say all the time, they said the recession, I don't believe in it. Is it because I did not see the dollar move from 150 naira to 300 to 450 till it hits 500? When it started crawling, I knew it would hit 400. Is that I didn't see it? I did. But how do I interpret things? I relate with what I'm seeing based upon what I want to come down from heaven to the earth. I don't relate with things based upon what I can see. Like I said the other day, you can face the fact if you wish. Go ahead, face it. Look, let's be real. Let's face the fact. But fact does not create the next set of facts that are good for you. Only faith creates the next set of facts that are good for you. Today's fact will only strengthen itself if you keep on facing it. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Today's fact only strengthens itself if you keep on facing it. If you want the fact to get weak, that is what you are seeing, then you have to take your eyes away from it and focus on what is written in heaven, and then by faith, bring them down to the earth. And what did Abraham do? The Bible said he looked at his body, even though it was as good as death, but he refused to focus on it. What did he do? He turned and began to give glory to God. He spoke to the Lord, said, God, you have promised, and I know you are a good God. You fulfill your word. Your word will become real in my life. And that was what became real in his life. And right now, we are telling his story of a woman who gave birth at the age of 90. And I say all the time, listen, Abraham was not the only one called by God. How do I know? Jesus said, many are called. It's the word of God. I wasn't the one that said it. You only know the story of Abraham because he was amongst those chosen. And amongst those who were chosen, Abraham was chosen, his father was chosen, his brothers were chosen. But he was the only one that was faithful. So now we know the story of Abraham. What am I saying? The story of Abraham and Sarah could have gone differently. And you'll have heard the story of a man who was 100 years and his wife that was 90. And the two of them used to fight and quarrel because the man said he believed God. The woman did not believe God, and they went back to all of Chaldee, and the business like that. At the end of the day, nobody writes the story in the Bible. Please, I hope you're following my point here. Because I need to emphasize that as we are working with God, I said last time, when we walk with God, it colors how we see things. And what we see, because everything in life is speaking. Let me emphasize that. Everything in life is speaking. And what you hear is what creates expectation. Anytime I watch CNN, you know this interesting part. I don't watch them these days. I hardly do. Hardly. If I watch, you know, I watch news a lot. I sit down, try to catch up what is going on. But I stopped watching CNN recently. After Donald Trump took office as American president, I stopped watching CNN. Why? I'll tell you my reason. Anger. That's why I stopped watching. Now, anytime I sit down and watch them, I notice something. They have made up their minds that Donald Trump will not succeed as a president in the United States. So what do? They amplify all his mistakes. Now, just by the way, you know, we talk a lot of things so that people can learn, all right? And it also helps me to preach easily. I know something about Donald Trump. I thought about it yesterday. You know his major problem? He's not a politician. That's the major problem. You know, people say Obama. I say Obama was a politician with a demonic flavor. The guy was... That's why he never did anything wrong. Why every statement is calculated. Every statement is planned. So, look, you can't say this, it will hurt the LGBT people. You can't say this, it will hurt our allies. You can't say this, it will hurt the Muslims. You can't say, so every statement he makes is calculated. Even when he's doing things he said he will not do. One day somebody released a number of illegal immigrants deported under Obama. I couldn't believe it. But he would never say it. is too politically incorrect. But Donald Trump doesn't care. It's not like he doesn't care. He doesn't know to care. To him, this is business. You are the one that thinks it's politics. He just gets up and says the courts are political. I mean, there are statements that American presidents don't make. But he doesn't know they don't make it. He just makes it. But what I'm talking about is CNN. CNN will take every one of those things and blow it up. Blow it up. Blow it up. I found out one day that every time I watch CNN, I can see they are trying to... I'm not American. I'm not an American citizen. I don't live there. I don't have American green card. The last visa I had has expired. I have not renewed it, you know. So it's not really my problem. The only thing is that I just get angry with that attitude, which of course a lot of Nigerians have against our head of state also, which I will talk about, all right? I notice that what they are doing is that they are trying to incite the populace to emit radiation in their faith against the man. And just by the way, when God wants to do you in, if God wants to bless somebody and decide to do that, he will close down your network. And he has to, why the Lord does that if he really wants to support somebody is that he knows that if he continue like that, you must understand God understands spiritual principles. He knows if he continue like that and people respond to you and they release enough negative vibes, what you are saying will come to pass. So when God wants to ensure that what you are saying that's negative does not come to pass, he shuts you down. That's what he does. I can prove it to you. You know his scripture. Man of God. What did God say? He said, look at these men, they are in agreement. Anything they want to do will not be withheld from them. He said, so what do we do? We're going to scatter their language. So for God to frustrate them, he had to scatter their language. He couldn't just sit in heaven and be watching them. He knew they would succeed. In the same manner, when Nnamdi Kanu began this radio in the East here and was poisoning the populace. Poisoning the populace. One day a student, one brother came to me and said, sir, things are bad. I said, what are you talking about? That was when I asked you that. They said, you haven't heard. I said, I haven't heard. He now began to give me the gist. And right here, many of you were here on Tuesday. We prayed, say, God, this is enough. Because you may not realize it. What is happening that people are bringing to the earth things that are written for Rwanda, that Rwanda played out. They are trying to bring it to Nigeria. So Christians have to say, no. These things are spiritual. Please listen to our series on Ecclesiastes. You know how things are supposed to be done. Listen, what happens in this life, that's what I'm going to emphasize to you, is that we take a narrative that's been written in heaven. When I say heaven, I don't mean in God's heaven, in the realm of the spirit. Satan has written his own. Like the reprint said, he said, what you have seen is Satan's plan for my life. But the problem is, I don't walk in the plan of the devil. He did not pray about it. I need to emphasize that. Many Christians will start praying about it. They take a vision that the devil gave to them and they turn it to a prayer point. And they think they are stopping the power of the devil, but actually they are amplifying it. Some things are supposed to be killed by neglect. Some things, you just ignore them. They give you words and no, come on, don't tell me that. Why? If I don't even talk about that, leave it. It's not an issue with me. I've told you this before. That's how I live my life. One day, my daughter was sleeping on the bed in my room. Suddenly, woke up. She was ill that day. Just woke up. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And I said, what is it? I dreamt that you died. I said, shut up and go back to sleep. The first time the mother heard about it was months later. I was preaching just like this. And she was in the congregation and they heard me say this. Why didn't you tell your wife? What am I telling her for? I'm not going to die. That one is for certain. No, I'm going to die one day. If Jesus does not come, all of us will die. Yeah, you get my point? Even the girl talking, if Jesus doesn't come back, one day she will die. She'll be a great grandmother. Amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So there's no doubt. But why do I want to generate unnecessary prayer points? Ask my wife. Did you pray about it? God forbid. Small girl with fever, get dream. I will now be praying. There are things that God will see and put you out of ministry. Some pastors are still preaching. I'm surprised God has not sacked them yet. There are statements you make. God will say, Banky, go and sit down. Apostle, okay, Mute. Say, yes, sir. Take over that ministry. That boy is very stupid. Say, Lord, what did he do? He was praying rubbish prayer points. What am I going to say here? What we do a lot of times with Christians, we don't understand, is that we take the devil's plan and we bring it to life. And this is the interesting part. Many times we claim we want to pray. Like Nigeria of today, Nobody has advanced the cause of Islam in Nigeria like the Christian. They have been the ones promoting it. They have been the ones arising and telling you how Islam is moving down south. They have been the ones telling you that if you eat meat, they tell you that if you eat meat, you are sponsoring headsmen. They put that in your faces. If you're not around the other Tuesday, please go and get the message we preached when I talked about magnifying the Lord. Please, if you're not around, get the CD today before you leave. Because what you talk about all the time is what you're empowering. Let me say something to you. The other day I was meditating about it. You know, when God says don't do something, there's a good reason for it. I'm going somewhere. This is what God wants us to do. Talking about faith. When you want to talk, the Bible says those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another and the Lord heard. That is, when you're talking to each other, your talk must be laced with the fear of God. I'm not talking about the fear of God. I'm not talking about the fact that, hey, don't do that, or God will punish you. No, that's not what I mean. I mean that if you're talking, it has to be laced with the counsel of God that you understand. I said something the other time, that many people say practically that there is no God. Even though they think they are Christians and they believe in God, the Father of the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to different aspects of their lives, they say there is no God. They want to make a plan. All right? Do I stay in Nigeria? Do I move to Ghana? Do I move to Cameroon, UK, US, Australia, whatever it is? The only reason, according to how it benefits them, that is saying there is no God. Because if there was God, you should know that he created it for a purpose and he has a place he wants it to be. Are you getting my point here? So, follow me. So when we are talking, we have to talk like people that know there is God. We must talk like people who understand that God is there and is watching over every aspect of our lives. So when we're talking about the fear of God, it is talking and putting his counsel into everything you are saying. I'm going somewhere, please. I've not lost my direction yet. All right? I know where I'm going. So anytime we want to talk, you know what David said? He said, let the words of my mouth and what? The meditations of my heart. Now, the word meditation is things I mutter to myself. So, when I am talking to my friends, say, let my words be acceptable to you. Let me not say things that are not acceptable. I'm going somewhere. So, I thought about it. When we sit down and discuss football, is it a sin? No. When we sit down and discuss economy, is it a sin? No. In itself, oh, please get my point, it's not a moral sin. God is not going to send you hellfire for it. When we sit down and discuss other people, what in deeper life they call backbiting, is it a sin? No, it's not. So don't, it's still the same thing. Until you start cursing people, you have not sinned. If you are just talking about, did you see that woman's hair yesterday? Now, wow. That hair is long ago. Oh, now, wow. Is that brother's tie? Yes, oh. It's red, oh, red. Now, wow. How was he wearing red? Now, so they like to wear red. You have you noticed something? You have not said anything bad about anybody. Those they thought they say is backbiting. They are biting their backhand. I meditated the other day and realized that what is wrong with all of these things? When Christians say sin, I wish we know what sin is. You only have 24 hours in a day, you know that. So every time you are spending doing something, there's what they call in economics, opportunity cost. Every time you are spending you spend doing something, it's time you don't have to do something else. You don't have that time anymore. So the other thing you could have done is the opportunity cost for that one you did today. Not financial cost, not labor cost, is the opportunity that you have missed. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? All the talk we talk, God said, I want your words to be acceptable in my ears. I want the discussion between one another, you know, those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. It must be something that is good that I can hear and I can write a book of remembrance for you for it. So when you spend all your time discussing Manchester United, it is the time you do not have to discuss the Lord Jesus. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The time you spend discussing economy, what the government is doing, what the government is not doing, is the time you do not have anymore to discuss the plan of God for the nation. The time, that's why as a Christian, when you're talking, you must lace it with the knowledge of God. You must. It must be there. You must say things. They say, oh, dollar is now this. Yeah, we thank God.
that in the midst of this, the plan of God will still be done. We are going somewhere good. What did they say today? Oh, CBN governor said this. No problem. We are praying for them that the counsel of God will be established. Every time you talk, that's what it means when it says that those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. Every time you talk, you listen to with the counsel of the Almighty, which is built in your heart. Now, listen to me. It does not always follow that that's what you noticed, physically speaking. But I said, faith is creating something. And believe me, if enough Christians do that, and they feel, the Bible says, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. When we radiate enough spiritual vapor like that into the air, one day, the cloud of blessing will pour down the rain of blessing on the earth. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? So when I said, what do we spend our time? God wants us to spend time. That's what I'm trying to make. We made it on Tuesday. Magnifying what he is doing. That is what faith is about. He said, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things we see do not count come out of the things that are visible. That is what faith will bring out into our lives tomorrow. Cannot be predicted today based on what is going on around us. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It means if enough of us radiate faith into the air, a kind of blessing will break forth upon our environment in 2017 that at the beginning of 2017, nobody would have thought it was possible. No one thing I thank God, no God answers prayers. Last week, almost every Christian I spoke to, even those who did not claim to be faith people, said, hey, we are praying for the president too. I pray he gets well. I heard this so many times. I said, God has answered our prayers. Oh, that's the current trend now. I don't know whether I'm the only one that noticed it. Apparently, the Lord has corrected us. Christians have woken up to their responsibility and now realize that, no, what have I been doing? Okay, maybe, no, God works different ways. When it became obvious that the man is not planning to die, now he was let just switch to the side of God. When we began to read in the news that he spoke with Donald Trump and all of that. Now, you know, God works different ways. We don't know exactly how those things went, but at least it caused us to hear a certain kind of news that changed the mind of the general, you know, Christian around, so that now they can release, it's still an answer to prayer. They can now release positive vibes into the air. Please, I'm explaining something here. That faith, what it does, is to download something that God recorded in heaven and bring it down to the earth. Every word we speak, whatever is going on in our heart, even if it is negative faith, it is downloading what Satan wants and causing it to be written, to be played out on the earth. It's been written already in heaven. Don't forget that story of Derek Prince. The woman said, I saw you in a car, wrecked, implying that a man died in that car wreck against a tree. And the man said, no, you have seen the plan of the devil. And I'm emphasizing to you today, the devil has a plan. And many Christians are downloading the plan of the devil to the earth. And I'm teaching that God even has his own plan, bigger than that of the devil. And our duties as Christians, or our duty as believers, putting us together now, is to make sure that the plan of God comes down to the earth. Listen to me, the plan of God doesn't just work by itself. People must download it by force. He said, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent do what? They take it by force. I feel like preaching to Christians today to know what they need to do concerning a country like ours. They need to bring forth by force the blessing of God into the environment. There's something I read the other day. I don't know whether it's appropriate for me to go into it now. You know, I was listening to David Paulson teach. And you know, when Jesus saw Nathanael, he said that, behold, a true Israelite, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And he said, how did you know me? And all of that. And I said, oh, because I said this, you believe? He said, what will you say when you see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? And I heard David Paulson explain something. That Jesus is the ladder that Jacob saw at Bethel. When he slept, the Bible says that, you know, let's just read it. Genesis chapter 28. All right, let me just read from verse 11. Now from verse 10, Jacob departed from Beersheba, and then in 11, he came to a certain place and spent the night there. And then he took a stone and put under his head. In verse 12, the Bible says that he had a dream,
And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Now let's stop here, okay? Now quickly go to John chapter 1. Now you see what happened towards the end of that. In verse 43, Jesus found Philip and told him to follow him. Then Philip was from the same city as Andrew and Peter. Now, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Who did we find? Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, verse 46, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Then verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael was so impressed by that, he said, how do you know me? And the Lord answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. Nathanael now said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He was so impressed, he had never heard of a word of knowledge like that. You understand? So Jesus now said, because I said to you that I saw you under the tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Can you see that? First time I heard this, the person was the one teaching. He was talking about the types, the names that Jesus was called in the Bible. It's about 250 of them. And it's one of the names. He was trying to explain that Jesus was a ladder that Jacob saw. Now, but what struck me about it, listen to this, and I want you to follow me very carefully here. What struck me about it was not that Jesus was a ladder, but that Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I have sent you. What does that mean? Anything. Now, notice this. Angels were ascending and descending. That tells me something. If there is something in heaven that God wants to bring down to the earth, the angels must have a ladder to climb down on. And that ladder is always people. I don't know whether you're following me. That is, let's take our country. I said something to you before, let me say it again. You know, I was into Derek Prince today. He was talking about Kenya. That when he was a teacher, he was doing educational work in Kenya. He said Kenyans, at a point in time, they rose and said they were tired, of course, as is normal, of white rule. So they felt that, okay, what do the white people have that we Africans don't have, that they are the ones ruling? And they decided that it's education. So that the Kenyans began to go for education like a god. That they worshipped education. He was dead then. And he told them, you have cast away your gods of wood, gods of stone, and you have now replaced it with another god called education. He gave them the word in Swahili. Now I'm going somewhere. He said that people don't realize that understanding cannot be educated into you. Do you like my English there? That it is a spiritual substance. God has to endow you with it. You can't learn it. He was trying to say that it was the enlightenment that God had given the whites, the British beforehand. That was what made them rule. It was not that they were more educated than the Kenyans. And that except the Kenyans get the same enlightenment, they cannot replace the British effectively. I'm going somewhere. Please follow me very closely. I've said it before. In a country like ours, that's the same issue. People say that settle down and organize your country. It is not possible. It is not possible. We can never settle down and organize our country properly. It is not possible. The only thing that is possible is that God one day will pour forth a blessing. And that blessing will organize us. I don't know whether you are getting my point. It is not the organize yourself that will bring order. It is that God pours a blessing and the blessing will force organization upon you. The blessing will force order upon you. A spiritual substance will be poured into the environment. And that is what you will see as order. It is not that development will come because you ordered yourself. I don't know whether you are getting my point. What you find is that God says the time to favor these people, that time has come for that reason. Suddenly you will find order.
Suddenly you find one IG of police that will be put there for 10 years. He will put the kind of discipline in police you did not know was possible. They will put an annex chairman that makes sure that even in local council election, you cannot rig. Someone now said that it was the time of this man that things changed. No. It was the time to favor Zion. Are you getting my point here? That's what I want to emphasize to Christians. Please follow me. Now remember our ladder. When that substance will come down to the earth, it has to ride. Let me summarize because of my time. It has to ride on children of God. If that blessing that's in the heavens will come down to the earth, it has to ride on children of God. It's not going to ride on PDP. It will not ride on APC. Take your eyes away from political organizations. They will never change the country. The only thing that will change it is that you and me decide that we will be the ladder upon which the spiritual substance of God will come down to the earth. And what does it mean to be ladder? Be the ladder, that's what we're talking about. He said Abraham, he contemplated, but he refused to give up hope. Abraham, he contemplated his body, but he took his eyes and fixed on the promise of God. Abraham saw the things negatively happening around him. He said, no, I have received from God a blessing. And I will focus on that blessing until it manifests. And the Bible said, God in whom he believed, that gives life to the dead and brings into existence that which did not exist. What am I saying? That was the same principle Abraham operated by. What am I saying here? That is, he focused not on what he was seeing around. People say there is recession. He said, no, we have prayed and recession will disappear. And even though he sees recession, he says, no, I am going to continue to declare that which I have seen in the realm of the spirit. Please, I hope you are following me. What am I trying to say here? That is the duty. God needs to plant ladders everywhere so he can pour his blessing into a country. Many times people don't realize it. They say, we are going abroad so that our lives can be better. What they don't understand is that they've taken away another ladder through which God will have poured down a blessing. These are spiritual things, though. Your presence is in Enugu is not to enjoy life. It's to, by your standing here, some angels must come down. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, they must come down. 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 Those days, when I first came to Enugu, we used to say, it sounded like a joke. I said, don't worry, Enugu will be a beautiful place. Charles Oludo would say something. I said, Charles Oludo is ordering them to open all the branches of banks. That the reason is so that a blessing can come into town. And we kept on declaring it. Believe me, that is the duty of believers. I told you that time that I was telling one of our people in Port Harcourt. I said, you know what God is saying? Stand here. Don't let PDP drive you away. Don't let APC drive you away. Stand there, plant your, you know. He said, I will pour water upon the seed you have sown. Sow in that land and then pour water upon your seed with your mouth. God will have to remove the troublemaker and bring peace because of you. If you go away from there, you have lost that place again. My friend Pastor Corey, people will tell him that what I see doing in Sokoto. And he keeps on telling them, he said, if I leave like people are saying, your troubles have just come closer to you. I don't know whether you get the point. What is he saying? There is he that let it and shall continue to let. That my presence where I am is keeping you safe where you are. That if I move away from there, the place we, that is what you are afraid of will blossom. Let me tell you something about America. One of the things Americans hate more than any other thing in their fight against terror is what they call a safe haven for terrorists. I know what I'm telling you. You know that time that Boko Haram began to collect territory in Nigeria? They had about 3 local governments that they were running. That's something Americans don't allow. Yes, President Obama, I don't know what was his problem. American logic normally is this. Once you don't have a place where you can train, what you can do far away is weakened. And that was the problem with Afghanistan. That's why they went to Afghanistan. People say, what they did in Afghanistan? Afghanistan was a terrorist haven. That was where Osama bin Laden was living. So once they had a country, they could build their forces and train their men and from then send them everywhere. Are you getting my point here? Now, somebody like my friend, where he is, people say, leave, leave, leave. Say, you don't understand. If I leave, you have reduced the amount of restraining power, thereby creating where Islam can tabernacle, build itself up and come and attack you where you are. Instead of you shouting, leave, leave, leave. Now, I'm the one adding my own words now. should be supporting him to stay. Should be praying for him every day. Because his very presence is a ladder of God that's putting a limit to what negative things can be done. Please, I hope you are seeing what I'm going to explain here. Listen, I want Christians to understand their mission in life. I'm talking about the pursuit of God. It's not just about to come to this life and go and chop life. Wherever you are the risen angels right down there. You are the ladder upon which they climb down. You are. You are. That is why I love you. I love where I live. I love my country. Why? In the context of today's message, it's my assignment. It is my assignment. It brings joy to my heart. Anytime I hear, get testimonies of what the word of God that we are preaching is doing in the lives of people. I know the word has affected preachers, churches, individuals. What am I saying? When God wants to write down with a blessing, he said, who do I write upon? Tell that angel, you, climb on Banky's back. I'm the ladder some angels ride on to come down here. I don't know where you're getting my point. And I'm saying that you are the ladder they require to get down to certain places. And what they will bring is not a result of what you are seeing, physically speaking. Your duty, I said Abraham, faith created something different from what he was seeing. He said, God caused into existence that which did not exist. And I'm teaching Christians again, please listen, that is your duty. Every day, by your talk, be calling into existence that which does not exist, physically speaking. Call an end to recession. Call an end to this rubbish of marginalization and tribalism and Islamic advance and all of those things. Don't join people in destroying the country. You have nowhere else to go. If you go somewhere, the Lord will turn you to a refugee there. You don't want to be a refugee. Let me tell you what refugees are. You are a professor back in your country. You get to a refugee camp. You are a number. You queue for food for yourself and your children. Is a punishment God gives to people that have not done their duties. Many people are running up and down. Instead of staying where God said they should stay, let me tell you what happened to them. They will get there to become a number. One of the most frustrating things in life. In fact, one of my friends in the US, he said, it is known that one of the major problems of immigrants is loss of status. A man back home, everybody greeted him, good morning, sir. He gets to this place, nobody's even greeting him at all. When he finally gets somewhere, he's the one telling everybody, sir, because he has to eat. He takes a low-paying job. People that are his bosses there are smaller than his students back home. He begins to have a mental problem after a while. He can't stay, you know, he can't handle it. Many times, what God does to Christians who have decided that I will not let angels ride on my back to bring a blessing into certain places. Talking about the pursuit of God, that is the assignment of believers. By faith, they force good things into certain areas. When we want to talk as believers, it's faith. We are creating things by faith. We are not commentators. When you want to talk, let me tell you how Christians are supposed to talk. You're supposed to talk the counsel of God. They said there's recession, they said it's going to be for a while. How do you know? Just trust me, it's going to be for a while. Then it will come to an end. Then it will happen that the kind of abundance and prosperity that they have not seen before shall begin. You say, are you prophesying? Yes, I'm prophesying. Why? I'm a prophet. Then you read your Bible saying, in the midst of advice, what did God say we should do? Isaac sowed in that land. He said we should sow in the land. My brother, do you know where any land is where we can sow? He said, I saw land. What do we want to sow? Let's sow a cassava milling factory. Yes. Let us sow real corn. Physical corn, hybrid, large green corn that we can export. Let's sow it. Let's walk up to very rich states like Makurdi, Kogi, that is land, we have land, and let's buy 50 hectares and plant something. Why? The Bible says Isaac sowed in the land. That is what Christians do in the midst of recession. Say, what will happen? Say, God will now bless it. Let me drop something before I close. A friend of mine the other day, he comes from abroad to do some things locally, and there was a lot of disagreement between him and some other people. So he said, look, I should give him my counsel. He said, he's been discouraged because of things were not working the way they're supposed to work. And he was asking himself, that is this something he's doing that is wrong? No, I'm going somewhere. And I told him something. which is true. In fact, I told him that somebody has told him that. I said, you must have noticed from my DP that I'm teaching on Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes said, human beings can't change anything. I said, so what are we supposed to be doing? I said, listen, we are to do what we are supposed to do. And the time of change has been appointed by the Almighty. I said, but if the time of change comes and we are not found so doing, a new set of problems arise. He said, thank you for your counsel. That is, we are not doing what we are doing because we think by ourselves we can change things. We said, this is a sign of our faith. Let me give an example. You can dig in the land, buy land, put your cassava milling factory there, and it does not succeed. It does not mean you have failed. Your faith is still working. I don't know whether I get my point here. Sometimes it's an engineering for a higher level of faith. What I mean is that if, despite that disappointment, you turn around and start another project, God says, man, this boy and this girl is very serious. Looks at an angel, three heavy angels that carry bags of gold, say, ride on their backs down to the earth. And there are different kinds of angels. Some, listen, if you're going to read this book, Angels and Assignment by Roland Bock, he said, one day he saw some angels very angry. They were pacing up and down like something serious was happening. He saw them in his room. Like they were giving commands. So he asked some of the angels, what is going on? He said, oh, we have come to do warfare for your finances. Did you hear what I said? He said, we have come to do warfare for your finances. We have come to fight to ensure that everything you need will be brought to you. What am I saying? You might do a business today, it collapses. You do another one tomorrow, it collapses. Then you start a third one and God looks and says, boys, this is a serious child of God I have there. Now, I want three of you carrying bags of gold right on his back, right on his her back, down to the earth. What you don't realize that what qualified you to be able to do that were the failed businesses you tried. Why? They were the signs of your faith. They were the signs of your faith. That's what I'm teaching them. They were the signs of your faith. They were the signs of your faith. God has called you to be the channel through which he will pour blessing to the earth. Oh. Please, don't let people teach you the opposite. I know I'm in Enugu, but I will say this clearly. Forget Nnamdi Kanu and his followers. They are leading you astray. I'm telling you the truth. Forget, is it OPC? What's the one in Lagos? Is it OPC? No, APC is a party. What's the name of the IPOB in Lagos? OPC, yes, yes. I hear all those narratives. I don't believe a word of those people. Forget all of those people. Is that the White People's Congress in the North? Forget them. All the people that are dividing people, leave them alone, please. I'm begging you. Because you know why I'm talking about this? I hear their narrative. You think it is here, you are simply telling that they are being undermined. Go to the North. The people there are also shouting. And they think you are the problem. I hope you know that. Yeah, they also think you are the problem. And let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you how human beings engineer nonsense. Let me prove it to you. One day, a colleague of mine, he wasn't saying it, he was just telling me what people have said. That what do I think? That have I noticed that every doorstep in Enugu, around here, down south mostly, has a Hausa man? Why? The Megad. Have I noticed that they all carry radios? That don't know why they all carry radios? They are waiting for the signal to attack. I said to him, have you noticed that every shop in the north has an Igbo man? Have you noticed that every market has an Igbo man? Have you noticed that they all come to Onitsha periodically? What are they going to do? They are going to get the signal to attack. Are you seeing the narrative? This is how, it sounds like a joke for those of us who are here. But go to the beer palace where they are discussing these things. It is serious business. And I want Christians to know, don't listen, be careful. I am not saying that whether something is true or something is not true. That's not my gist. My gist is simple. You are the one that will decide the path that we will travel on. That's what I'm saying. If we are going to get to a path where we'll be stabbing each other and shooting each other, it will be decided here, not in heaven. Listen. There are different ways to interpret these things. Yesterday somebody sent me a picture, some of my classmates, said, look at leadership. They showed that Barack Obama and his household went to church and they were not sitting in front. They showed them at the back, somewhere in the middle. Said, look at it, if it's Nigeria now. They now showed another one that, what's the name of the former prime minister? David Cameron. That was on a train. I could not find a seat. He was reading a paper. He said, see leadership by example. So I decided to answer the person. I said, forget this nonsense. All of this is rubbish. David Cameron on a train, he didn't find a seat. He was standing, showed that the whole country does not respect their elders. I said, where I come from, we stand for ordinary elder, we will stand. How much more a prime minister? I said, are you seeing what I'm trying to say? You paint it, look at it. I said, it's not leadership. It's institutional stupidity. Everybody is yes. I said, why are you? I said, oh, Obama. Obama went to church. I said, whoa, thank God he went to church. Who welcomed him in church? He is the one that persecuted the church in America more than any other president that have existed since America began. They were telling, I said, oh, they said Trudeau. Look at Trudeau crossing the road with his family. No, I said Trudeau. The same Trudeau people told me last week is not allowed by law in their country to fly commercial. Even if he's going for his son's birthday, he must go on the presidential jet. The only thing they say is that if you are going for a personal thing, you will pay the commercial rate to the government. So if he's going from here to Lagos for going to attend a friend's wedding, they will fly him with Air Force One of Canada. But he will pay 20,000 naira that he would have given to Eric. But we know the cost of that trip is a few millions. I said, why are you now trying to brag to me now that a man is crossing road? I said, do you know all the other people there? Do you know whether they are not SSS agents? Don't be silly. What am I going to say? You see the way we take anything and write our own narrative? So I'm telling Christians, write your own narrative. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm going to explain. Write your own narrative. Write your own narrative. Write your own narrative. Don't let somebody tell you nonsense. If you see a picture of the president in London with Bola Tinubu, what the name of the Saraki, Dogara, all those people, if they are there with him, say, oh, thank God they are united. Oh, we praise God. These men are in agreement. That means our country will go forward. Father, we worship you. That's your own narrative. Because when I was young, the fact that every Igbo man was in every corner of the world was taught to us that they are very industrious people.
Yes.
We were taught that when you see an Igbo man, if he's wearing nika, don't let him deceive you. He has a house in the village. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. That was how we grew up. We believed that every Igbo man you saw had a lot of sense. I'm telling you. That anytime you see him wearing knicker, he's deceiving you. That the guy is a millionaire. There was this bike, that's what they call Honda CD125. One, there were different. Okay, there were different ones. 195. The biggest one was 195, right? They said, don't mind him. That man can buy a limousine. He decided to buy this one. They gave us the impression that they're the most hardworking. That I've never been to the East, really. That if you go to Newe, they can make a human being for you. This is my point. That was the narrative. As a young boy, they told us a Hausa man will never lie to you for any reason. When I was young, believe me, the people that we thought had problems were our own people. That is, like, all the people we knew were those people that they don't matter. People now then go wear Agbada. It doesn't have money. You'll be wearing Agbada. Yes. That was. Look, are you getting my point? That the man is owing everybody. Look at the big guy cloth he's wearing, you know? And then, you know, that if he's an Igbo man now, he will never wear this kind of thing. He uses money for serious things. That was the narrative when we were young. And really, and that was why everybody found it comfortable to settle everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody was comfortable settling everywhere all over the country. But now we have a new situation in which people are being taught to distrust and hate each other. And I'm saying, only the church can bind them together. Only the church. Only the church. Only the church. I am so, honestly, I'm so glad I live in Enugu. It makes it easy for me to preach. I'm telling you the truth. I'm so glad my younger brother came here and went to marry from Imo State. I am so happy. Yes, because it makes me a real Nigerian. When I'm talking, people know I know what I've been. I mean, my wife's from Delta State. People know that this guy is not joking. Like I tell people all the time, I like to brag about it. That my friend, he's from Imo State. When he was going abroad and he needed somewhere to run his account, he signed all his checks and gave them to me, blank. If he needed anything, he gave me a call. When another one was leaving, also from Imo State,
He's a banker, but I'll need you to help me. Signed his checks blank and gave them to me in an envelope. Toss them, give them in an envelope. I kept it in my drawer. Yes? Tell me that when I was wedding, my best man, his name is, you can't have a more egotic name than that. How do you want to try it? Try it now. From Abia State. No, I like to tell you stories because, you know, because for me, it shows what Christians can be. And the whole world lies in darkness. We are the only ones that can show them light. And like I said, what are we doing? By faith, we are creating. We are not trying to describe what has been. By faith, we are creating. We are creating our own narrative. We are creating what other people can follow. We are creating. And if this nation will be blessed, it will be because you and I decide that angels will ride on us down into the country with unity, with progress. Are you getting my point? With peace in their hands. Angels are the ones that have been keeping us in peace. I told you last election, so I called on for our sisters. What did the Lord tell you? I need to hear it. And she said, oh, yesterday I was praying, or a few days ago I was praying, and I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the country. And each one had a mighty sword in his hand. And they lifted the sword over the country, the tips touching in the center. And this is the word of the Lord. There will be no trouble. I said, thank you very much. There will be no trouble. And those angels, they went there and told Jonathan, take that phone. And they picked the phone. Call Buhari. And the man got up, congratulated the current president and the whole world head. And there was peace. And that peace was so powerful that when another country called Gambia tried to inherit small trouble, they... You know, Buhari went there.
Yes.
I went and told the man, I said, oh boy, come out. And then I go agree. I said, okay, no problem. If you don't want it in peace, you will see the way it will go. And then I like when you want to do Big Brother. We sent one of our few battleships, we sent one to the water side. Just we were carrying around. And our small planes just fly up and down. Boom, boom. Now I brought pack bag. I can come out. Say, waiting, enough you play safe. Waiting. What happened was that we exported a bit of the peace of God that he gave to us.
Yes.
That's what we did. So we're a mighty influence in this environment.
Amen.
What am I saying? Those angels are waiting to bring in prosperity.
Amen.
They have angels carrying bags of gold. They are waiting to bring in prosperity. But this is the message that the Lord has given me for the church. So they need ladders to ride on. And I need people with their own narrative. We're not talking about whether it's true or false, physically speaking. We're talking about we are creating the new thing that must be. We are saying there is peace, there is unity, we are friends. We are saying that we love each other. And that love is starting in the body of Christ. That's what we are saying. Let's bow down our heads. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I'm the ladder for your angels to ride on. They are bringing in peace and they are bringing in prosperity. Say, Father God, I'm the ladder for your angels to ride on. I am the ladder for your angels to ride on. They are bringing in peace and they are bringing in prosperity. They are bringing in justice, advancement of the kingdom into this nation. Say, Lord, I, as a person, as your son, your daughter, I declare that I'm an agent of unity. I'm an agent of the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm writing a new narrative for the country. I declare that the peace, the wisdom of God is upon the head of state, his deputy, his service chiefs, his ministers. And I say in the name of Jesus, they will do well. Say, Lord, I write a new narrative. I say, your mercy is upon us. I say, you chose a head of state. You chose our governor. You chose our legislators. And they will do your will. That's the narrative I'm writing. So that I declare that your truth will prosper in your church. That is the narrative that I'm writing. Give the Lord thanks again. Just say after me, say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
For you have liberated me.
Lord,
I thank you.
Because you have made me different.
By the power of the Spirit of Christ.
And because of understanding.
Yeah, those are the two things the Lord does for us. He pours his Spirit into us. And it gives us understanding. Say it again. Say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
That you have made me different.
By the Spirit of Christ.
And by understanding of the Word of God.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
Because you are walking in my life.
Your angels are riding upon me.
And they are coming into my environment.
They are coming into my home.
They are coming into my church.
They are coming into my country.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I declare this country blessed.
Because we are here.
We the people of God.
And the angels of God are riding on us.
They are bringing peace.
They are bringing prosperity.
They are bringing justice.
They are bringing advancement of the kingdom.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Father, we give you thanks for today.
We thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
As you depart from here, I command the peace of God upon you again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This coming week, progress will come to you.
Amen.
In the midst of so-called recession, increase will come into your business.
Amen.
Increase will come into your family.
Amen.
Your wages will increase.
Amen.
Doors of opportunity will open for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to do something as Christians. Right? Have a global mind. Just open your mind. God will open a door for you to serve people globally in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen to me. God will open a door for you to serve people globally in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
One of my favorite scriptures, I quote it all the time. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I command the wealth of the nations for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will serve people in Malaysia.
Amen.
You will serve people in America.
Amen.
You will serve people in China.
Amen.
You will serve people in South Africa.
Amen.
From here, your influence will be felt around the world.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they will bring gold from every corner of this globe into your gates.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will prosper you abundantly.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your ministry will go global.
Amen.
Not for vainglory, but because God will put a substance inside you that everybody in Francophone West Africa will need to listen to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somewhere in Eastern Europe, they will listen to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Australia, they will gather around tapes. They will gather around players. The internet, they will be listening to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because the glory of God will shine upon you.
Amen.
That is your testimony.
Amen.
And you will walk into it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's unity in this country because of you.
Amen.
Listen, this is God's word. I created Nigeria by myself. That's what God is saying. And I have my purpose for it. And let me prove it. Two men who I respect so much. One I never really met. I saw him on TV when I was a little boy, Pi Elton. That was the reason he came to Nigeria. Because God showed him that vision. Reinhold Bonnke, that one many of us know. He had the same vision. And he said, Africa is shaped like a gun. And the trigger is in Nigeria. Go and look at the map. It's clear. He said that shape is deliberate. That the continent is shaped like a gun. And that the trigger is in a country called Nigeria. This is God's country.
Amen.
From where he's shooting mighty things around the world.
Amen.
Listen, the plan of God, people need to download it. And we are the downloaders. We are, do like this, somebody, do it for me. Say, click to download.
Click to
say, we are downloading.
We are downloading.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitful multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's take it one more time. This time around you personalize it. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Now bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your season. Another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless one more person, please.